dealing with the issue of bitterness. And don't say that ugly. I say that tenderly and caringly. And want to see this church get the most out of God. Amen. And God get the most out of you. So John chapter 3, let's go down through here. We'll read this. And if the Lord wants us to sit somewhere, we'll sit somewhere. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man slides the air slide and jumps into a little house balloon, and unless a man comes and plays basketball and eats our hot dogs, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Does it sound like to me, church, that this is how you get people to God, entertaining people to God? Is that what you're about? Does it sound like that those people are really diligently seeking after God? My Bible says that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's not a rewarder of those that's looking to be entertained. That's why I get so upset and mad about this stuff. I'm just full of it. I'm telling you, I'm sick. Just amazing. We're serving a whole different Jesus today, Eric. There's a whole different Jesus. That song that you sung. Well, if you do look it up on YouTube, I'd rather have Jesus. You'll find out there's a lot of other Jesuses versus the one that's in this Bible. Amen. And I believe that's the one, some of them other ones is the one they're seeking. But then he said, Nicodemus said in hell, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whether it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Good question. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. Well, we've seen this, Nicodemus. We know this stuff. We're telling you what we know. We've seen it with our own eyes. It's a witness. We're a witness. He said, Testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you of earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. I like that. Amen. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now let me say something here. Because sometimes I use that verse and I take it out of its context. And I can't justify that. But that's not talking about Jesus necessarily being exalted, although there's nothing wrong with exalting Jesus Christ. Nothing whatsoever. It's talking about him on that cross. And that's just for the cares, that's for the Calvinist in the world. Jesus said, Hey, Calvinist, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to me. And they're so smart, they miss that. Amen. Right. Now, Jesus said, If I'm going to go to the cross, I will draw how many men? All men unto me. It's good. Did Jesus go to the cross? Absolutely. Does he draw all men to him? Absolutely. Does everybody get saved? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so here we go. That and as Moses led the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be led. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want you to listen a lot of times to the wording today. People's conversions. People talk about believing on Jesus. Okay, believing on Jesus. The Scripture says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Zach, pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We pray that you bless the preachers and preachers.
Help us, Lord.
God, I pray that you give us ears to hear. Dear Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would do a work in all of our lives.
Help us.
God, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1 and 2 says, and his name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Pretty good. We can see here that Nicodemus, number one, was a Pharisee. And we pretty much understand what the Pharisees were, and we know that not many Pharisees ever did care enough to come see Jesus and inquire of the Lord. Not many of them did that. Thank God Nicodemus did. And I would imagine that Nicodemus maybe was trying to fly under the radar. Maybe he was a little embarrassed or whatever it might have been to go out in public in the daylight for everybody to see under the flag of being a Pharisee. Maybe his embarrassment sent him over to Jesus at night when less people would notice it. Less people was up and out and about to see him visiting with the Lord. One of the interesting things that he said when he came to Jesus, he said, "We know." So it wasn't just Nicodemus that knew that Jesus was sent by God. He wasn't just Nicodemus that knew that Jesus was a man of God. He said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Who was we? Him and them other Pharisees. Even the Pharisees knew Jesus was sent from God. They knew that. We know that this was at night. We know it was one-on-one. Jesus was there with Nicodemus and there alone. And that makes me say, thank God that he cares enough about us to have a personal relationship. Ain't you glad of that? I'm glad, Michael, when I woke up this morning at 3:19 and checked in with Jesus, that he's a personal Savior. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, that I didn't have to have the congregation. I'm glad I didn't have to have a crowd or a quartet. I'm glad I didn't have to have a big old ad put out. But I was able just to wake up at 3:19 this morning and check in with my Father and had a personal one-on-one relationship and conversation with him this morning at 3 o'clock. What a blessing to have a personal relationship with Jesus, God's Son. Amen. I know what it's like to sit in a congregation. I know what it's like to sit in a congregation of people and seem like I'm the only one there. I know there's been crowds in the congregation. I've sat in congregations of thousands before, and it seemed like, Eric, I was the only one sitting in that congregation. I can remember sitting in a congregation of a couple hundred. And it seems like I was the only one in the whole congregation. It seemed like God was dealing with me personally and nobody else. I wasn't even concerned about anything or anybody else. God was pouring into me that word of truth. Amen. One-on-one. It's good. I can remember, and I'll give you an illustration, and I don't want to try to get bogged down, but I want to be obedient to the Lord. But church, I want you to get this. I was sitting over here in Laudy Baptist Church. In fact, it was the First Baptist Church of Laudy. And I was sitting right back there, about three-quarters of the way back, about four seats over from the end, and our pastor was preaching on salvation on a good Sunday morning. And I had a sinner sitting with me in the house of God that we brought to church with us. And I can remember sitting there, thanks be to God. And I was thinking, boy, I'm glad the pastors are preaching on salvation. This old boy I got with me today needs to be washed in the blood. This old boy is with me today. He needs to be born again. You know what the Spirit of Truth said to me? How about you? And I said, I'm saved. He said, yeah, but how fresh is it? Yeah, how real is it? Is it a little bit stagnant? Would you believe that I forgot about everybody in that congregation? And I began to how to receive the Word of God unto myself. Man, and I hit that altar and it was like getting born again. God freshened it up. He made it real once again. I'm telling you, it was good, church. It was good. Not that I lost it. Not that I doubted. Wasn't none of that involved. But church, I'm telling you, every once in a while you can get cold on God, and God will rekindle them fires. He'll re-give you that zeal. He'll give you that love that you once had. I'm telling you, church, ain't nothing like having a good personal revival meeting with God. Amen. And one of the reasons why we ain't having a church-wide revival is because we're not having enough personal revivals. That's good. Amen. I would imagine old Nicodemus was embarrassed a little bit. But thank God he got through that, got to Jesus, and they had their one-on-one conversation. And boy, I'm telling you, it's amazing when you sit in a congregation and God starts applying truth to the heart. It's almost like nobody else is even around. Right? And it doesn't matter. Then I see how much God loves each individual. I know John 3 says, listen, church, I know that John 3 says that he loved the world, right? For God so loved the world. But I can't help but to love what Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul said that he loved me. Amen. And he gave himself for me. Yes, he died for the world. But if the whole world said no to Jesus and died and went to hell, he loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Ain't that good? Personal. God loves you and I today. God loves you today. God loves each and every person in here today as an individual. I'm glad for that. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Boy, he just got right down there to the nitty gritty, didn't he? I like Jesus' response to Nicodemus. He didn't hem-haw, he didn't beat around the bush, he didn't play politics. He just said, Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you're going to die and go to hell. You ain't going to get to go to heaven. Here he began to tell Nicodemus about the new birth. What is the new birth? It's a spiritual birth. You have to understand and keep in mind that Nicodemus is not a dummy. He's not an idiot. He's not stupid, whatever you call him. He's an intelligent man. He's pretty sharp, buddy. Nicodemus, he's a leader of these Jews. He's a leader in the Pharisee camp. But I'm telling you, he was sharp. He was smart. Thank God he run up on Jesus. Amen. Boy, old Nicodemus didn't just fall off the turnip truck. No, sir. I'd venture to say that he knew more Bible. He knew more Bible than most of us in here put together, Steve. Sure, I guarantee he could quote that law, son, up one side and down the other. He could lay that thing out, line upon line, precept upon precept. You run up on old Nicodemus, man, I'm telling you, he could put you in your place with the Word of God. Guarantee you that. But he doesn't run up on the Word of God. He doesn't run face to face with the Word. Knew a little bit more than he did. Sir. No matter how smart Nicodemus was, church, he couldn't get his mind around the fact that a man must be born again. I mean, this is an intelligent man. He knew that law, but he knew how to love his neighbor. He knew how to not take the Lord's name in vain. He knew how to reverence the Sabbath. He knew how to do all that. I'm talking about over 600 commandments, 600 laws. This man knew how to do that and perform that. He could quote them. But he could not get his mind around the spiritual birth. Couldn't get his mind around. He couldn't have it. Can I be honest with you? There's way too many people trying to figure out salvation today. Way too many people trying to think their way through salvation. I'll tell you something. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual thing. We don't need to try to figure it out, ladies and gentlemen. What we ought to try to do is just obey what God says. Amen. I mean, if we just be obedient to the Word of God, we'd be a lot better off instead of analyzing all of it. That's right. And I don't think you're to be stupid. But I'll be honest with you. We're to be obedient before everything. Let me say that if you don't get your mind off the physical and begin to understand the spiritual, the natural-minded man don't understand spiritual things, you'll never see the kingdom of God. If we can't get our eyes off the physical, if we can't get our eyes off the temporal, if we can't get our eyes off the natural and get our eyes on Jesus, we'll never get born again. How many people today are in hell, you reckon, because they couldn't get their eyes off the physical, huh? How many people do you think is going to die and go to hell because they got all these physical hang-ups? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Would you believe there's millions and millions and millions of people all across the world, Miss Stephanie, that's going to die and go to hell because they're more willing to walk an aisle and take a little wafer and lay it on their tongue and go get them a bottle of wine and drink that? Think because they did some kind of a physical act, they literally become part of the body of Jesus Christ. You know how many Catholics is going to die and go to hell because they can't get their eyes off of this physical? They can't get their mind around the spiritual. They can't get away from that priest and look unto Jesus, the great high priest. Sitting inside of our Baptist church is the same thing. We may not take the wafers and we may not drink the wine. I'll be honest with you, there's still people caught up in way too many physical things to get to God. How many people is going to go to hell trusting their own ideas? That's right. I'm telling you, I know Baptist deacons that's going to die and go to hell because they have an idea. I mean, man, they think they're saved. They have an idea that they're saved. But I'm telling you, according to the Bible, they're lost. Right? I know some Baptist preachers, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you, I know some Baptist preachers. I wouldn't be afraid to lay my finger on and say, but I don't believe he's got it because of the fruit in their life. Baptist preachers, they're Americanized too, buddy. They know how to do it. Know exactly what they're doing. I don't care what it might be. There ain't no good reason to go to hell. There's not an excuse to go to hell. There's no good reason for a man not to enjoy this present abundant life in Jesus Christ today. No good reason. Look at verse 4 and 5. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus begins to break this thing open for Nicodemus. And all I'm trying to look at today is a spiritual birth. If I had to title it, I would maybe call it being born of the Spirit. I want you to watch this. Look with me, if you will, please, in Luke chapter 1. While you turn, I'm going to say this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now we'll turn to Luke chapter 1. Verse 26, Luke 1:26. We'll go down to verse 35. Boy, I like this passage right here. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. It's amazing they were married and she was a virgin. She was a spouse to him. Of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. Oh, boy, just like that. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, watch this, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Here's the answer. The angel, she just asked, ladies and gentlemen, the same thing that Nicodemus just asked. How can this be? She just asked the same thing that old Nicodemus the Pharisee asked. And there he's going to tell her. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, church, I'll be honest with you. That's just good stuff. Amen. That's good stuff. Zach, you talked about in Sunday school that Holy Ghost, the ministry, the work of the Holy Ghost. There it is right there, ladies and gentlemen. And can I be honest with you? Jesus' birth was as spiritual as it possibly can get. Jesus Christ's birth was as spiritual as it possibly can get. Would you believe the person that set all the example in the world of a spiritual birth was born spiritually? He was not born physically or naturally. He was born spiritually. And here he stands in the face of Nicodemus and says, Nicodemus, unless you was born like I was born, you'll never get to spend eternity with me, son. Say, how was that so? Well, the Holy Ghost had to come upon this old gal, and then the power of the Most High overshadowed her. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that if you ever do get spiritually born, the Holy Ghost is going to have to come over you. He's going to have to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to have to overshadow you. Otherwise, you're not getting saved. Amen. And Nicodemus couldn't understand it. Holy Ghost comes upon you, and the power of the Most High overshadows you. And that's a good time to get in, ladies and gentlemen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when God's are moving, when the Father's are drawing, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, when the power of the Most High is overshadowing you. You're not going to get saved any other time or any other way. No other way. That's how Jesus got it, friend. That's how Jesus did everything. And I'm going to tell you what worked for him is what's going to work for you and I. And I'll be honest with you, every Jew that ever does pass from death unto life will get in the same way. Do you understand? They're coming through Jesus, friend. They're coming through a spiritual birth. They're going to have to be born again. Amen. If Mary goes to heaven, guess what? Mary's going to have to be born again. Mary's going to have to come underneath that Holy Ghost. That shadow's going to have to overcome her. And God's going to have to birth her into the family of God. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. This overshadowing thing kind of interests me. And I tell you, I figured out how to get a response out of John Asquith. And I texted him yesterday and I said something about the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, and just trying to find some definitions for this word, because there ain't but a few verses in the Bible for overshadow and then a couple for overshadowed. And so I called him up and asked him about the Oxford English Dictionary and looking for some more understanding on that thing. And I just texted him, I didn't even hardly press send. My phone was ringing. I said, glory to God. Amen. I know how to get a response. He said, listen, when you say OED, you're touching real close to my heart. I said, that's good, brother. When you say OCD, you're touching real close to my heart. So there you go. But this overshadowing interests me, and I'm not where I want to be. I'm not satisfied with what I know so far. But from what I've got, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost like a baby being in the womb. It's almost like a mother carrying a child. It's overshadowing. And it's been said that the most dangerous place on earth, ain't just what they say, the most dangerous place on earth is in the womb of a mother. I've heard that said before. It's in a mother's womb. But this child grows inside this womb, inside of help me if I'm not pronouncing this right, an amniotic sac. Is that right, ladies? Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. It's within this sack, ladies and gentlemen, that this baby is protected. It's protected. It's within this sack that it's nourished. It's within this amniotic sack that it's developed. You understand that that sack is overshadowing that baby. It's protecting that baby. It's nourishing that baby. It's developing that baby. Do you understand, to be spiritually born, you're going to have to be overshadowed. You're going to have to be developed. You're going to have to be nourished. Nourished through what? Nourished through the Word. Amen to God. It's the sack of God. It's the Word of God. It's going to have to overshadow you. The Spirit of God will overshadow you. The power of the Most High. What is the power? It's the Word of God that's the power. It's going to have to overshadow you. It's going to have to protect you. It's going to have to nourish you. It's going to have to develop you. Now, let me go ahead and go as far as saying, because the world says the most dangerous place in a baby's life is in a mother's womb. Can I be honest with you? Outside of salvation, the safest place to be on planet Earth is in God's amniotic sack. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God's begun a good work in a human, when God is nourishing that babe, when God has got that babe in the womb, when God is developing a newborn babe, I'll be honest with you, friend, that's a safe place to be. That's a good place to be in the hands of God. I promise you, friend, he's a good doctor, and he's never lost a babe. No sir, friend. Man, God will bring you through that thing, being confident this very thing that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will see you through. He's going to nourish you. He's going to develop you. And I say that very carefully. I want you to understand that it wasn't too long ago, and I've shared this probably before, that there was a young man that was coming to this congregation, coming to this church. And I've known him for years, about all of his life, and since he was a little boy. And he had one of them little American Baptist professions, and it wouldn't hold water. And You couldn't put a Bible verse on it, and I mean his life was empty and void and vain, and man he had this little false profession, and I began to pray for him, and man, he started coming to church, and he called me up one morning about 1 a.m. And I mean, thank God, God had begun that good work in his heart and life, and he began to tell me what a loser he was, and how empty he was, and how fake he was, and what he had wasn't real. And I said, bud, I'm telling you, I've been praying that God would get you there. It was so good. I'm telling you, that's a good place to be, ladies and gentlemen, coming through that birth canal. I'm telling you, God is overshadowing at that time in your life. That's the overshadowing I'm talking about. In the womb of God, in the birth canal of God, that's the overshadowing. That's what's got to happen. I'm telling you, we want it to happen today. And boy, I'd like to see everybody get born again today. But God has his time, and God has his process, and God is bringing them through that canal. And it's going to happen on God's time. It's going to happen in God's time if it happens. All right. Now here's what I've also seen. I'll just bring it up because it come up. But I've seen many a miscarriages, Michael. I've seen people God was dealing with. And I've seen preachers that blowed out easy believism and give an invitation, nothing but 100% easy believism, and emotionally get somebody to make a move toward God. And that's an easy thing to do. I've done it myself one time, and it's an easy thing to do. I'm telling you, church, people come down, make them a little profession. They go back and they get white. Well, you say, what is that? That's that miscarriage. They didn't get the real thing. Ain't nothing much sadder under heaven than to see somebody aborted on an altar. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, dear God, help us to lead this thing up to Jesus. It's in his time. It's in his hands. He's the doctor. He's the great physician. He's everything. He's going to overshadow the Holy Ghost. Thank God is going to come upon you. That's a good place to be. Man, it's going to come upon you. Well, you know what a lot of people are trying to do? They're trying to figure it all out. I'm going to remind you that spiritual things are for spiritual discerning people. Natural-minded man can't understand it. Old Nicodemus just couldn't get his mind around it. I thought, man, what a blessing to see Jesus. He was spiritually born. You hear me? The Holy Ghost come upon Mary. and was overshadowed by the Most High and gave birth to Jesus. Amen. I thought, what a blessing. Let's go back to John 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 3. You go there, and I'm just going to turn over to Acts 17. You just stay in John 3, it'll be fine. I'm going to read one passage here. Acts 17. Well, doing pretty good. If you take notes, you might want to write it down. Acts 17, verses 16 through 21 says this. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. And then it said, then certain philosophers of the and then two names right there I'm not pronouncing are important names if you'll study them out. The Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Called him about. Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Do you hear what they said to Paul? The same thing that Nicodemus is trying to get out of Jesus. You're telling me some strange thing, man. What is this that you're saying? Paul went over and started preaching to them people about Jesus Christ, and they said, is this some strange God that he's talking? What's this babbler talking about? What strange thing are you going to tell us about here? Nicodemus is standing face to face with the Son of God. And he's basically saying, man, this is strange. Are you a babbler? I don't understand. This is all new to me. I can't understand what you're saying. What do you got to say today? Explain yourself, Jesus. Verse 4 of John chapter 3, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? This is strange, Jesus. I mean, I'm a grown man. I'm 6'3", and I don't know what it was. I'm just saying, I'm 6'3" and weigh 220 pounds. I can't crawl back up in my mama. Are you kidding me? That's crazy, man. You know what I do believe? I believe Nicodemus wanted to see the kingdom of God. I just don't think he knew how. I don't believe he could get a grip on how do I do this. I believe that's why he came to Jesus, because he wanted something. I believe old Nick wanted to see the kingdom of God. He just couldn't get his mind around how do I do this. He was an intellect. Tough. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus is being frank or dogmatic here with Nicodemus. I want you to notice something in that verse that caught my attention, and that's all I'm trying to do is just go down through here and show you what's interesting to me, what the Lord has pointed to me. You see, that which is born of flesh is just lowercase f and f. And then he said, and that which is born of spirit, capital S, is spirit, lowercase s. And as Zach quoted this morning over in the book of Romans, that Jesus is in God and we're in Jesus and Jesus is in us. That's the new birth. That's what when you get born of a capital S spirit, guess what you do? You become a lowercase s because you're in him. And Brother Asquith always taught that lowercase s always represents who? Jesus. So when you get born of the capital S spirit, you become a lowercase s spirit with Jesus. Man, pretty good. Capital S, lowercase. I thought, man, that's good. Look at there. I become right there. As soon as I'm born of the Spirit, I'm in him and he's in me. Ain't that a blessing? It's a blessing. All right? Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Why'd you read that over in the book of Acts a while ago? Just to show you there's more than one place in the Bible where all this stuff just lines up. This Bible connects from Genesis to Revelation. You know what I believe? I believe this Bible connects from the very beginning to the very end. I believe the maps even tie in the back. I believe it. Amen. I like the maps, sir. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says this, "And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit," the capital S spirit, "beareth witness with our lowercase s spirit, that we are the children of God." The capital S spirit says, yeah, Jesus is in them. The capital S spirit says, yeah, they're in Jesus. That spirit bears. You know what, church? I don't need nobody to whitewash me. I don't need nobody to tell me I'm saved. I don't need nobody. Because the Spirit tells me I'm saved. Amen, son. I mean, he's bearing witness that I am. Back to John 3. Look at verse 7 and 8. "Marvel not that I said unto thee," Jesus said, "you must be born again." I thought this was pretty good. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." Then watch what he says. "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Kind of a brain twister sometimes if you ain't careful. Let me read it again. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Or like the wind. Here Jesus is giving Nicodemus an illustration to help him understand how man's born of the Spirit. How this thing works. How you get in the family of God. He's giving him, listen, an ear to hear. That's what we've got to have, an ear to hear. Let him have an ear to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says. How many times have we seen God break stuff down for us, huh? All through the Scriptures. I mean, just to kind of tiptoe across a couple. If you look at that man over at the pool of Bethesda, how much plainer can God break salvation down for us, huh? Old man laid over there, crippled all his life, laid over there, and showed up over there one day and said, "Man, how long you been crippled?" He said, "What, 38 years, 35, whatever it was." And he said, "But you know what, man, when that water's troubled," he said, "I have no man." And my God, here comes Jesus. Amen. But see, the point was the troubling of the water, that stirring, that overshadowing, that Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost. That was that overshadowing. That was that work of God being performed. And whoever can move, whoever can get it. That's when you get it, when God moves, when the water's troubled. That's the illustration. Well, man, you can see it time and time again. Man at the pool. Boy, I tell you, if I was at Cinema Street, we might just run out the doors on this one right here. One good thing I can give them, son, they did go to camp meeting. Back in the day, son, we went to camp meeting. Old David said, "Lord, I want to whoop them Philistines." God said, "You be still. God, I want them. I want victory. They got us by the nostrils. Lord, we want them." "You sit down, David, and be still." He said, "I want you to sit over here by this tree." He said, "When you see the going in them mulberry trees, I want you to get up, Dave. And I want you to go, and I'm going to deliver them Philistines into your hands." You say, "What's that going?" That's when the Holy Ghost has come upon it. That's when it's starting to begin to be overshadowed by the power of the Most High. That's a picture of salvation all the way back there in David's day. He said, "Listen, when the Holy Ghost comes upon this thing, when I begin to overshadow, there'll be a going, there'll be a breeze, there'll be a wind blow through them trees, Dave. When you see the leaves begin to rustle in the mulberry trees, you get up, son, and you go out to battle. I'm going to deliver y'all and give y'all the victory today." Amen. Picture of salvation. When the wind blows, he said, the wind blows where it listeth, and you can't see it. You can't tell where it's coming from. You can't see where it's going. But you can see the results. And old Dave saw the results. And the waving of them leaves. He said, so is everybody that's born in the Spirit. Everybody's born in the Spirit the same way. Just like that wind. He's using the wind. There's different things that God shows us in this Bible to get us to Jesus Christ. Can't help but to be personal, but the night that I got saved, would you believe this? A tornado blew through Louisville, North Carolina. I mean, God's son. Oh, Lord have mercy. Would you believe, Michael, the night that I got saved, I had no idea the wind blowing where it listeth, and you can't hear the sound thereof, can't tell where it comes and where it goes. You can't. But would you believe, Zach, the night that I got saved, I had no clue that I was going to get saved? I had no idea. I did not put my pants on that night. I did not take a shower. I did not put my shirt on. I didn't put on deodorant. I didn't walk out that house. I didn't get in that car. I didn't drive all the way across the county. I didn't go in that church thinking, man, I'm going to get saved tonight. That wasn't my mind. I couldn't help it, Miss Holly. When I was sitting in there, the Holy Ghost came upon me. Amen. And the power of the Most High overshadowed me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I wasn't expecting it, church. But the wind blew out of the north that night. And come where I was headed. And it blew upon me. And thank God birthed me into the family of God. I didn't have a clue. I wasn't making plans. I wasn't going, well, I tell you, man, I got some things I'm going to settle, and then I'm going to get saved. I got some things I'm going to do, and then I'm going to get saved. I tell you, man, next year, on my 50th birthday, I'm going to go get saved. I've heard all of that kind of stuff I want to hear. Friend, you're going to get saved when the wind of God blows, or you ain't getting saved. I'm telling you, and you don't know when it's coming, and you don't know when it's leaving. The best thing you and I can do is get in while it's happening. Amen. Get in while it's happening. Boy, I'll tell you what, I miss old brother Leroy talking about the going in the mulberry trees. Amen. I miss him. He used to sure enough preach that stuff. Boy, it was good. Good. Old Doc preach that kind of stuff, couldn't he? Going in the mulberry trees. Huh? It's good, wasn't it? Amen. Yeah. You don't get saved on your schedule. If you get saved, you get saved when the wind shows up. You get saved when the power of the Most High overshadows you. You get saved when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That's right, you get saved when the Father draws you. All that's happening at one time. If you don't get it then, you ain't getting it. When should I get saved? I'll tell you when you should get saved. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. When the power of the Most High overshadows you. When God begins to develop you and God is bringing you to that birth canal and God's doing surgery on you and working on you and God's a dealing on you, and that's when you better move toward God. I said while it goes, the safest place to be outside of salvation, and Miss Holly, can also be the most dangerous place too, because when people reject it, boy, God's not obligated to spend another minute on that life. Not obligated to spend another second on that soul. No, sir. Eric, let me ask you a question. Y'all over there in the hospital, you're in the emergency room, wherever it might be, and a guy's dead, and he's pronounced dead. They've wrote the time of death on him. I'm telling you, man, they've done sort of taken off all the garb and the mask, everything. And it's a lost cause. How many doctors walk in that room and start pumping on that life? Nobody does that. Let me tell you something, buddy. When Jesus Christ is done, he's done. Mark that down. Just as sure as a doctor walks out of that operating room on a dead body, Jesus Christ says, look, I'm done with you. You better get it when the wind's blowing. You say, preacher, listen, I've responded. That's the best thing to do. You've got to respond to God. Properly respond. That don't mean you got to run to an altar. That don't mean you got to make a profession. That don't mean you got to pray a prayer. That don't mean 40 million other things that we hang on at. That just means you better deal properly. Deal with what God has put on you at the time. You know what God will do? If he doesn't bring you all the way through that canal, he'll bring you another centimeter closer. Thank God. He'll make it a little bit closer for you. That's how we better respond. Would you believe on the night I got saved, there was that little tornado going on up in Louisville, North Carolina? Nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw what was going on. Nobody seen, hey, listen, there wasn't no sirens going off up there at the fire department. Hey, wasn't nobody running around panicking. Hey, wasn't nobody boarding up their house. But I can tell you, just as sure in the world, friend, there was a tornado stirring down in my soul. Do you hear me? I mean, God was uprooting all that old self in me. He was jerking up all the sin in me. Man, that stuff was swirling. I was standing there trembling at the law that I spurned. I realized what I transgressed against God. I'm telling you, it was a tornado going on in my soul.
Yeah.
People don't understand this, Zach, but I promise you, unto God, y'all have heard me testify this. There was a breeze blowing from another world in the woods that night. I ain't trying to spiritualize it, son. I'm not trying to spiritualize it at all. When I walked out of them woods, I realized that when I was sitting in them woods, you understand that there was a breeze blowing in them woods at night. There was a going in them trees. There was a stirring in them trees. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the overshadowing of the Most High. I'm talking about that coming upon of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about that drawing of the Father. I'm talking about that converting of the soul. Being born of the Spirit of God was breathing. The Spirit of God was stirring. The wind was a-blowing. The wind was a-blowing. I'm telling you, church, I know we don't operate off of feelings, but I could feel the breeze of God. Amen. I could feel it. Yes, sir. I could feel it in my soul. I knew what was going on. I heard enough preaching. I knew what was going on. I hadn't had nobody up there explaining to me. I done had the man of God preach to me all my life. I heard the word all my life. I knew exactly what was going on. I didn't know how to spiritualize it. I didn't know how to say things. Man, the older I get, the further I get away from it, the more I understand. I start seeing things still today that I didn't even know happened back then. Boy, I'm telling you, it stirs my soul, babe. I had to get a little old touch of what God done for me that day. So preach with you, I'm talking about enjoying the spiritual life. Enjoying a spiritual birth. Man, you're a good person, not by any stretch of your imagination. Talk to my daughter-in-law. Not by any stretch of your imagination. But I tell you, there's been a seed of righteousness sown inside of me. Thanks be unto God. Old Matt told me yesterday, he said, Dad, he said, talking about a player, he said, we just mentioned the player, and I said, oh, he stinks, he can't hit a lick, I wish he'd go on. I mean, if you can't hit, get out of the lineup. I want people to, yeah, I don't like losing, Michael. I just don't like losing. If I'm pulling for that team, I don't want to lose. Bad loser. I'm a bad loser, and I'm a bad winner, son. He said, Dad, his dad is grouchy. I said, well, maybe I ought to get to know him. I like him then. He said, old boy went over 4 to the day, and his daddy went up there and kicked a dent in his car. I don't know about all that. I ain't kicking no dents in the cars, but I kind of like that, Daddy. I kind of like him now more than I ever had. Oh, boy. Would you believe that I didn't go to Jesus when that wind started blowing in me that night, Steve? I want y'all to go to Mark chapter 4 sometime and sit down and read it. I want you to look at something. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when Jesus was in that ship and he was asleep and they was coming over there into that land of the Gadarenes and that storm arose, that tempest out there in the sea, and they began to panic and oh, ye of little faith. And they went down there and said, don't you care about us, man? We're about to die here. And Jesus got up and rebuked it and asked for it to be calm. Boy, I seen that yesterday, Eric. I seen it yesterday or the day before. And I thought, man, we've misunderstood calm for peace in this Christianity. There's a difference between calm and peace. Right, buddy. He calmed that storm. And then turned to that crowd, that religious crowd, and said, oh, ye of little faith, what's the matter with y'all? He wasn't speaking peace. He spoke peace to the sea, not to those people. I want you to read that sometime and see the difference. I want you to look at that real close and see the difference between calm and peace. Calm and peace. And I got to realize that since I got saved, the storms in my life are a lot different now than what they used to be when I was lost. Different kind of storm. That's right. Amen. Amen. But you know what I didn't do that night I got saved? I didn't ask the Lord, "Lord, there's a tornado going on in my soul. Would you please? I'm about to perish. I'm gonna die over here. I'm gonna die of fear if you don't do something." No, sir, buddy, I didn't say that. I didn't ask God to make the wind stop blowing. Man, I responded to that wind. That's right, I responded. I moved based upon that wind. I repented. You say, "What'd you do?" I repented. Yeah. That's right. I repented. Amen. That's what you do. You don't ask God to remove that wind. You ask God to forgive you. All the junk that was swirling in me, I had to come clean with God. Zach said it in Sunday school. We've been talking about it on Wednesday night. That refiner's fire and the fuller soap. God wants us to come clean. Amen. Clean with Him. You know what I did, Michael, the night I got saved? Wasn't nothing real big or anything, but I did come out in woods with a little S. I came out in woods that night with a lowercase S mistake. I went in there with a big old self, and I came out with a little old spirit. Amen. A lowercase spirit. Boy, thank God, what a difference. You hear? I mean, to go in full of self and sin and come out with Jesus Christ, me and him and me, and now I'm hid with Christ in God, and I'm heirs and joint heirs of Christ. Thank God, seated in the heavenlies, enjoying the blessings of God. Amen. The breeze, the wind, the overshadowing, the coming upon of the Holy Ghost. That's what it produces, man. That's what it produces. What a life. I'm telling you, what a blessed life. Amen. I really meant that this morning when I wanted y'all to sing it. And you've done a great job, Miss Tanya and Amber and Zach. I mean, what a great thing. I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, up to that point, I was looking for everything else in the world. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. But I'm telling you that night that I got that little S tagged onto my soul. Hallelujah. I come out in woods, and this is what I can honestly say. There's peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Huh? I can honestly stand up in the church house and out of the abundance of my heart say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." I can sing them, son. I mean, from my heart. I don't have to sing them from my mouth. I don't have to sing them from a diaphragm. But I can sing them from the bottom of my heart. Because I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God now I got that little spring. Hallelujah. Coming out of me of everlasting life. Because of what Jesus done for me in the midst of that wind. Man. That coming upon, that overshadowing. There is joy divine that is ever mine since the Lord has delivered me. I don't know the words, but I shout and sing for my blessed King. Hallelujah. I don't have to conjure that up. I don't have to just make them words up, friend. I'm telling you, thank God there's a song in my heart. There's a melody in my heart. There's a word of praise on our lips. Since He put that little S in my life, things is just different. Amen. Just different. Amen. Yes, sir. Look at things different, Steve. I see things different. Huh? I listen to different things now. It's a difference. It's an abundant life. I want you to hear me well, church. I've always took a little bit of pleasure in being a country boy. Sure, I like being able to walk, you know, to the fishing holes. And I like being able to gun down a good deer. I like doing them little country things. I like baseball and racing and football. I like boxing. I like to watch two black men, blacker and tar, get in the ring and beat each other half to death. I just love it. I mean, you talking about racism, son. They beating each other. They ought to stop it. Black Lives Matter. And, you know, until there's a couple million dollars, you know, getting in on it. But other than that, it matters. And I'm not a racist. I'm just saying I like these things. But Eric, and when I was a little boy in school, I said, dumb. You'd have to fill out them papers. Who's your name? David Vernon. And mine, I had 14. David, Wayne, Howe, Smith, Jones, Mumford, Vernon. The thing wasn't big enough for me to write names in, and then say where you live, Clemens, and, you know, date of birth, 4167. And we'll celebrate that the whole month. And then they say, what country? What city? That's what. What city do you live? They want to know if I lived in Clemens or Louisville. I'd scratch city out. I'm not lying. I said I don't live in the city. I'm a country boy. I'd scratch city out and put country Clemens. Country boy, son. I wasn't from the city. But I want you to hear me and hear me well, Miss Stephanie. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking church to retire in a city. That's right. I told them a long time ago up there in L.J., Georgia, I'm just a country boy. Going to be a city slicker one day. You hear me? I'm going to be a city slicker one of these days. I'm going to retire to the city. When I leave this old world, I'm not going down there to the country anymore. I'm going to go to a city where it's fairer than day. You hear me? Amen, son. Thank God for the blessed promises and the hope that God gives us through the blessed wind that blows to our soul, through the coming upon of the Holy Ghost, through the overshadowing of the power of the Most High. Look at all my blessings, friend. I'm telling you, listen to me. That's good, man. I'll be able to sit by the Crystal River. It'll be wonderful. I'll sit down with Brother David and Brother Paul. It'll be wonderful. I'll sit down with some of these men and talk to them about their days and their time with the Lord. The church, I want you to know something. I got to get up in the morning and head out into a dog-eat-dog world. And I'm glad to tell you, we don't have to go it alone, amen. I can walk with Jesus. The old songwriter said, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. It's a good thing, God, as you stagger through this whole world. I'm telling you, friend, I'll be able to lean on Jesus and just be able to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's good to have fellowship. It's good to have his joy. It's good to have his love. It's good to have his hand. It's good to have his ear. It's good to have his heart in the world that we live in. Right. All these things now. Man, today I got the heart of God. Today I've got the ear of God. Today I've got the hand of God. Today I've got the voice of God. Today I get to fellowship with him. Today I get to sup with him. Today I get to talk to him. Today I get to hear from him. Today I get to enjoy his love. Today I get to enjoy the joy of God. Today I get to bask in his blessings. Man, when this old nasty sin cursed, hateful, God cussing, God denying, liquor drinking, dope taking world is all burned up and passed away. We'll live forever while the ages roll. Will there be no more sorrow and no more death and no more pain? For the former things will be passed away, and we'll be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen. What a blessing, friend. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being born of the Spirit. I'm talking about being born of the Spirit. I'm talking about, thank God, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and the power of the Most High rests upon you, overshadows you, and the breeze of God blows through your soul, and you're converted and you come out a new creature in Christ. Thanks be to God. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. The burden of your heart's rolled away. All the hate, all the malice, all the envy, all the strife, all the bitterness, all the hardships, all the badness,
I'm telling you, Jesus says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. You don't have to bear that burden. You don't have to go this thing alone. You don't have to live that old miserable life. You can have joy unspeakable and be full of glory, amen, because of this spiritual birth. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Michael, I've been working like a hound dog. I mean working. Hey, shut up, Zach. I've been working like a hound dog on a convict trail. I mean a hot convict trail. I want you to know something. I'm happier than a tick at a blood drive. Hey, man, makes me happy. Oh, Miss Debbie, I get up, got aches and pains, and I hurt, and I squeak, and I squawk, and everything else. Stuff hurts you didn't know you had. I'm telling you, though, thank God, man, I've been so happy. I was thinking about it this morning in the shower. If you could compare and make sense out of it, it'd be like me being a tick, working teller in a blood bank. I'm telling you, Miss Debbie, I've been happy, friend. I've been in good shape. You say, why? Because of Jesus. Right. You see that old tick sitting up there in the teller slot and all the people coming by to donate some blood? That tick's pretty happy. Man, he found his job of a lifetime. I've been happy. I've been happy. You know why? So, preacher, what are you talking about? I ain't getting rich. I'm turning this old job over here, Michael, and I ain't making hardly any money. I'm taking a loss. I'm hurting on it. This is a big shot for Ashley Furniture. Big shot. I mean like CEO shot. And I said, he cares an awful lot about his house, and he's got a pretty nice house. And he cares a lot about it. I said, if I do him right, do a good job, I might not make much money, but I'll have him forever. And I'll make it up down the road. Man, me and him grew to like each other, and he's from Lebanon. Somewhere like it, Lebanon. Zach was out there the other day talking about, bless God, we taught them a lesson. I said, Zach, they didn't hear you get talking about bombing Syria. I don't read it. Zach, don't say stuff. These people from Syria. We won, Zach. Come on, we won. We won. We shot the BB gun. We blew up Syria. And I'm going, Zach, these people's from Syria. Shut up. And you don't know, I'm telling you, this woman, she's got windows cracked, and you'll look around the corner and she'll be sitting at the window watching you and listening. You never know what she might see or hear.
She was outside.
You ought to see me trying to find a bathroom in that place. Lord have mercy. Preacher, why are you happy? It ain't because I'm making a lot of money. It ain't because I'm making good connections. It was because I come out of them woods that night with a little S tacked onto my soul. Huh? It's because the breeze of God has blown in me, that wind of God. It's because the Holy Ghost has come upon. It's because I've been overshadowed by the power of the Most High. It's because I've been saved. I've been born a spiritual birth. That's why I'm happy. I sing because I'm happy. And I'm happy because I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Woo! My name's written in the last book of life. Why wouldn't you be happy? I'll give you this and we'll quit and come back or do something. Nobody sees the wind. Bible says you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everybody that's born of the Spirit. Ain't nobody saying? When you go out here today, and I'm not sure, I didn't look, but if you go out today and you look up and you see them clouds in the sky, they're not floating because of some charismatic reason. There's a force that's driving them clouds. Those clouds is what overshadows us, and they overshadow the children of Israel. To give us, well, I'll tell you, be out there on the job, Michael, you can relate to this. Steve, you really can relate to this. Be out there on the job in the summertime, and it's 400 degrees, and boy, a cloud rolls up and it's like a blessing from God. Thank God for that. I've been out here before, man, clouds has rolled up. Just thank God for that cloud. Don't leave. But you know what? That cloud didn't roll up there on its own. The cloud got there by an unseen force. The wind's driving it.
If you're going to be overshadowed, there's an unseen force. Oh, God help us.
Driven by the wind. I don't want to mess up. I'll quit. The reason you're being overshadowed, though, church, is because of an unseen force.
The reason the Holy Ghost has come upon you is because of an unseen force.
Faith is the evidence of things unseen. Is that right? You don't see it. Faith is not seen.
If we're going to have faith in God, I mean, he's unseen. We can see the results of God, though. We can see them clouds moving across the sky, and we know God's there. We know God's involved. Amen.
We know the wind's doing its job.
I tell you what, and I'm done.
Listen.
I can see it when people get saved. I don't know when they're going to get saved. I don't know all the details, but I promise you one thing. When they get saved, you can sure see the results of salvation in their life. You can see it. Amen. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You may not see it. You may not know the details, but you can see the results. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, dear God, for the good liberty in Christ Jesus that we had this morning. Pray, God, that you'd let it set upon the hearts of the hearers. And God, I pray that you would give the increase. Pray that you'd bless the food we're about to eat. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.